Welcome back to the Rollmageddon podcast. In today's short episode, we are announcing our upcoming mini-series and giving you lovely listeners a peek behind the screens to see into our character creation process. As I'm sure you have already noticed, this is not the standard sultry voice of our beloved Overlord Jason. My name is Sierra, and for the next few episodes, I will be herding our party members through this mini-series. As for some housekeeping, I'd like to give a heads up regarding content warning. The next few weeks will feature a Lovecraftian world with vivid and at times horrific descriptions. If you are not interested in hearing content containing body horror, animal death, torture, and/or sacrifice, this may not be the mini-series for you. Not to worry, we will be back with our regularly scheduled content before you know it. Now, without further ado, player cats, please introduce yourself.
Oh, hi there. It's me, Melvin Many Names. You must be new to the neighborhood. If you don't know me by now, I'm a sweet little pussyfoot, purebred cat. I spend my days hanging out one spot, going and pooping at another, stopping by gardens and saying hi. I love making new friends. Nice to meet ya.
Hello, my name is Augustus. My friends occasionally call me Princess Pretty Pants. As you can see, my tail, it is both extremely fluffy, and if you watch, you see this elaborate tail motion. Nobody really moves their tail like I do. I was raised by Priscilla, my lovely owner. She gives me all the good pets when I want. She knows where the treats are, and she named me.
My name is Set. I am one of the spryest cats I know. I don't know a lot of cats. I live in a very, very tall building. My humans are very generous. They make sure that I'm well fed, well cared for. They take me to a person every once in a while that cleans me up and makes me look prettier and prettier. They like to pet me. They own lots and lots of shiny things and appear to be doing much better off than the other people that I've seen. Luckily, they leave the window open at nights so I can go outside and now start exploring the world, which has become very interesting. I've met other cats, some of them nice, some of them not so nice. I've seen other weird animals. I don't know what they're called. When I'm done exploring at night, I know where my food's at, so I go back home, and I never have to worry about it. Also, they call me their little god of chaos.
Hello. My name is Freya. I am a two-footologist. I live with my inventor human. He likes to invent all types of crazy things. There's a lot of fire. My tail's gotten singed a few times. But I've gotten very smart at learning to use his devices. And he has one that, like, if I push a button, it'll feed me. And I can go into his room even when he doesn't want me in there. He had to create a special lock so that I wouldn't open the door because I got extra toes. So I can grip the door handle really well. And I kind of just stay in around my garden if I want to get some outside time. But I like to be inside because then I get to play with all of his toys that he makes for me.
I am Magnus. You might know me as the world's strongest feline. I'm 12 years old. I travel around with my owner. He's also a strong man in the circus. I like to follow in his footsteps and prove that I'm the strongest cat. I'm a little older. I'm 12 years old, but I like to go around town to town and just really prove in that how strong I am. So if you got a challenge, come up to me and let me know. I am a Sphinx cat. You might recognize me. I'm completely hairless and very, very ripped. So next time I'm in town and you want to meet a real cat and come up to me and get a real challenge, you just let me know.
Do you have a lift, bro?
Pretty good. You hail from the Bronx?
I was trying to do Sylvester Stallone.
Player cats, you find yourself in the quaint town of Salem, Massachusetts on the morning of an October day in 1925. Luckily for me, you're all cats, so we can forget about what's going on in politics and world events. Our story begins in an old Victorian Gothic manor around the Salem Common. What we'll be deciding today is how your cat characters are going to fit into this world and what relationships you may or may not have with each other, so that next week when we do session one, we can hit the ground running. So a lot of this story is going to take place around a large manor right in the middle of the town. I don't know if any of you have been to Salem, but they've got kind of this large park that the main fancy residential area is all based around. It's a small town, so not too far to the west are some shopping streets, lots of little cafes and shops. And I know this is about 100 years ago, but I'm going to go with the Salem that I know now, more or less.
And with then, less technology.
Yeah. And then a lot of our area is going to be residential, lots of nice old colonial, maybe Victorian homes. And down to the southeast, there are some docks on a harbor. A nice harbor. Mm-hmm. We're about an hour outside of Boston today, at least. So does anyone want to go ahead and start with who in this town do you think you know? Are you outside a lot? Do you mostly stay in your home? Do any of you belong to the family where the manor is taking place? Or like where a lot of the story is beginning and taking place?
Well, who lives in the manor?
So in the manor, it's owned by an older man who loves cats. He's kind of like a cat lady. Mm-hmm. And he loves to have as many as he can. He's even devoted a nice sunroom with lots of plants and like old furniture for the cats in the room. Many of the doors are left open for them to wander around as well. But there are some doors that are off limits. As well in the manor, you have a cook who lives in a small room off of the kitchens. She has her own cat. She loves them and has been known to leave some scraps aside for the cats and likes to leave the window open into the garden. There's a butler in the manor who does not like cats. He has to put up with them because of his master. But he usually avoids you. He's not necessarily abusive. He's more like a human who just thinks animals are dirty. But he has been known to give a kick if you get in his way. He certainly keeps an eye out for any cats who aren't explicitly allowed in the home. So some of you might be able to creep into the window every now and then that the cook leaves open, but you always have to be on the lookout for the butler. And recently, there has been a bit of a change in the house because a new human has moved into the manor's attic space, which used to be open for you all cats to explore, but now is one of the additional locked door rooms, which is annoying, but you also don't necessarily get the best vibe from this guy. He smells strange, a little chemically. And when the various house cats kind of snoop around outside his locked door, sometimes they hear clinking and fizzing noises. He doesn't really seem to care for the cats, and usually the two parties avoid each other. And those are all of the people who reside in the manor at this time. There's lots of residential areas around the manor, as well as a garden. In the back of the garden, there's a gardener who lives in his own little shed, cottage, really. And then there is a dog that he owns named Bernie. The dog's, he's a good boy. He just really wants to play, which can be bothersome to some of the cats. But that's where a lot of the story will start. Some other key locations to give you some ideas if you're interested in being maybe a street cat or a garden cat. There's a Salem Common, which has some various bushes and hedges if you want to look at those for nesting. There's the docks. There's some dock workers, and the docks are always happy to have a few cats to, you know, catch rats and whatnot. There's a clock tower. That space has been all but overrun up top by a local cat gang. And also the high priest of Fatar Axlan resides up in the clock tower. Since we are in a Cthulian world, there will be cults, even though you are cats.
It's a cat cult?
It is a cat cult.
And yeah. What's the
Fatar Axlan. So it's FFTAR-AXLAN. Mm-hmm. We'll see if you guys are religious or not. But yeah, so does anyone have kind of an idea of where they might want to fit into this world?
Well, I figure since I am a pussyfoot friend to all, I have like a wide range, kind of like a that darn cat kind of situation where I stop at different places in town. So probably like stop by the gardener at like the manor because A, I can get along with dogs and that dog seems like a little cutie.
Nice.
So that might be an in for there.
Okay.
I think the gardener would call me Shadow because I'd kind of just appear out of nowhere and maybe scare him sometimes. Here. I feel like Melvin will be the main name, though. Like, that'll be what my owner gave me.
Is that what you go by with other cats, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Melvin or Melvin, many names, yeah.
Real quick, because I kind of... What is your name, Sam?
Magnus.
Magnus, okay. And Jason, what was your name?
Set,
okay. Like some Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Playing an Egyptian
you were talking and for some reason I thought you went with the name Mao for your cat and I was like, that's an interesting name.
Yes, my character Set is very new to the outside world, like I said, very young, has everything that he needs at home, wanders out at night when they leave the windows open, goes, looks around, kind of, you know, gets in the lay of the land and explores this new outside world. And then as soon as he gets hungry, he goes back home. So he probably has no idea what's going on or anything. He maybe has had, like, seen the manor and like, oh, there's a lot of cats over there. But for the most part, just spends all his time poking his head into any hole he can find, trying to figure out, like, you know, sees a, I don't know, a possum or something. Like, what's that? You
know, running around. Are you the type of cat to approach or flee?
Approach cautiously, and then if it seems like hostile, just kind of backing off or jumping up real high where it can't get me, and then just watching it and like following it around and watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably annoy several animals just for the fact that I'm always watching them.
Do you think that you've ever had a discussion with other cats in the neighborhood?
So I don't know. Jordy, your cat's a stray.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other cats? Are they strays or?
I'm a house cat.
I'm a house cat. I'm a house cat with a dog
house
door.
House cat. Stray.
A house cat with a what?
A dog door.
A dog door. Okay. So he can kind of come and go.
Yeah, but I probably sleep a lot because I'm a tiger dreamer.
What about Magnus?
So Magnus travels around with the circus. So to him, this is just like another city. But his favorite thing to do when he goes to a new city is kind of prove that he is like the world's strongest cat. So oftentimes he goes out into these new cities and... not like picks fights, but likes to kind of do challenges to prove that he is the world's strongest cat to other cats.
So you're like looking to meet other cats.
I'm like looking to meet other cats to like, I mean, A, show them my beautiful, big, chiseled physique.
Does Magnus like strut like that? Like when Magnus is walking, it's not like a, it's like a pretty like a chest up.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure. He's strutting those muscles.
He's got the vest on.
Yeah. He's making sure, like, all the muscles...
Flex his shoulders with each step.
He also, like, you know, he looks very oily. Oily but wrinkly.
He's so, greased. Yeah.
Like an older, like, bodybuilder, you know
like
what I mean?
Like a boxer. Okay, so you're new to the town. Set might have met Melvin in passing.
If I'd met anyone, it's going to be Melvin. Because Melvin wanders from place to place. Mm-hmm. And so if I had seen him coming through a couple of times, I'd have been like, oh.
Hi, like your shoes.
And I'll just note that a lot of the descriptions that I'm giving, they're up to change between this week and next week, depending on just like what we set for your characters. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm thinking that I might be able to adjust some of the NPCs in the manor to basically match the description of your family, and you could reside in the manor.
All right. Problem solved.
Yeah. Freya, what are you thinking?
I'm assuming that since I'm a two-footologist and I know how to, like, open doors and stuff, that I can, like, either get out or, like, my owner would, like, leave a window open when he's, like, tinkering so that I can kind of, like, leave and stuff whenever I want. But I don't think I would, like, stray too far from... I'd probably just, like, stay around the house or something, but not really, like, go explore that often.
Do you think you've met town cats? Or
Maybe if they, like, wander by when I'm outside, then probably. So I might have met Melvin and Set, and then I told Set to go away because they're annoying.
Excuse me. I was just smelling your butt to see what flavor it was.
Oh, God. It
smells like vanilla.
Better not tell that guy in the attic.
Yeah, I would say Set's meetings with other cats were probably didn't always go the best because he's the kind of person who's very, or a kind of cat that's very, very friendly, but would be like, why are you so big? Why is your fur so long? What's wrong with your feet? Why are your feet wrong? You know, that kind of a person.
Okay.
He's just, why? Why? Why?
What's that?
Why? What why?
That? And he also has a tendency to get people's names wrong. He's only ever half listening when you answer.
As far as personality traits go, are any of you like for fight, flight, or freeze? What are you feeling for your cats?
I mean, Magnus is definitely going to be fight.
Fight, yeah.
Okay. He doesn't necessarily look for fights, but he also like doesn't not look for fights.
Either. Okay.
Mine will generally be freeze and wait for the reaction of whatever's going on and react accordingly.
Okay.
Like if I'll wait and see like, and then I'll be like, oh, I know this person. Then I'll like, you know, go up and be cute. Or if it's somebody I don't know, I might try to be nice after it. And then I might just take off. Depends on the situation. There's another little, like, smaller kitty around. I'll probably, like, try to defend it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, definitely be, get to the highest platform.
All and right.
Then wait it out.
Flight.
Okay, yeah.
They try to follow you up a tree and you just, like, jump off of it, like, onto, like, a window, like, awning.
Grappling hook.
There you go.
I think mine would probably be more flight just because I don't interact with other cats and stuff that often. So I think I would be more prone to, like, running away or something rather than trying to, like, attack something or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm freeze or flee, depending on what it looks like. Okay. So if it's something that's, like, real mean, I'm definitely flee. But if it's, like, I don't know, apparently, what is it?
Quincy's beauty.
Oh, man, what am I? I'm like a mother to all. So apparently they are very trying to make friends. Very seeing the good and everything, so I think that's my...
Am I a friend to all and you're a mother to all?
I know, it was really confusing when you said that, because I was like, oh, am I just supposed to be that? But no, you're like friends with everybody, and I'm like supposed to be able to... like.
You're like nurturing to everyone.
Yeah.
So for the listeners at home, and for me, because I don't know what these things mean, what does all this mean, this mother to all and friend to all and...
So there are 5 classes in this game. Luckily, we have 5 players who are happy to play each different class. A scrapper is kind of like the strength, the strong character. And then we've got the pussyfoot, who is very charismatic, can kind of convince humans to do what they want, maybe leave out treats or open a door. We've got the catcrobat, which is a very dexterous cat. They're known for like just flying around all over the place, being able to jump great heights and then be very quick and maybe a little more slick. So like the cat that's always able to just get out of your hands last second. We have the 2-footologist, also known as a poker, although they don't like to be called that themselves, who are just incredibly interested in what are humans up to? Like, what does this lever do? What does this switch do? That thing's shiny over there. Interesting. And then we have the tiger dreamer. The tiger dreamer is a cat that usually sleeps a lot, but is also very in touch with the more mythical realm and the otherworldliness that comes in a Cthulian world, or a Cthulian world, I should say. So they're able to access the dream world, in which they might see that something bad is happening or get different clues or be able to connect with kind of mystic creatures. These other references, like mother to all, friend to all, these are subclasses. So they're based on, are you a feral cat, a house cat, or a show cat, and if you're a purebred or a mixed breed. And we'll be reminding everyone what we're playing at the beginning of every episode. If you're interested, you can find it also at Call of Cthulhu, written by Joel Sparks. Thank you, Joel. A little bit about the game and the world you're finding yourself into, especially for how the heck am I going to be herding cats, because it's an impossible feat. One of the driving forces in the world of Cthulhu is the Great Idea, capital G, capital I. The Great Idea is this thought that all cats share, that everything that humans do forever, since the first time cats were invited into the homes near fire next to, like, in a human's home, is that every progression in humanity is to make life more comfortable for cats. So cats are the center of the universe. Each of you are the center of the universe, as is every cat. And your human servants are doing anything they can to make your life much more comfortable. So, like, the invention of heaters and AC, it's for cats. The invention of settling down in agriculture, it's for cats. You want to be able to feed your baby more. That's the great idea. And anything that comes in to threaten that great idea, that is bad. And cat adventurers will work to stop anything that threatens the great idea and human progression to continue to make your life nice and fluffy and comfortable. Even if you're a street cat. Street cats are like, ooh, I get to be outside and I get snacks from all the humans around me. It's the best of both.
Hey, they just keep leaving dinner for me in this dumpster over here.
Exactly, exactly. Dumpsters, they're just food collectors for cats. That's all they are. So if anything happens to threaten that, which, you know, may or may not in this game we're about to play, it's your job to try to figure out what's going on and to stop that threat of the great idea. Does that kind of give some motivation? Yeah. As for the way this RPG is played, it is a pretty simple one as far as mechanics go. Every challenge is split into an easy challenge, a moderate challenge, and a difficult challenge. Every cat player will have two dice. 3 through 6 is going to be a success for the player cat. 1 and 2 is a failure. If it's an easy challenge, you just need 1 success. If it's a moderate challenge, 1 success is a moderate success. If you roll 2 successes, then you completely succeed. So it might be like, if you only roll 1 on a moderate challenge, yeah, you get the thing done, but you really struggle. Or maybe you are able to open the door, but the human's already gotten away by the time you open it or something like that. And if it's a difficult challenge, you need 2 successes or it is a failure. There are other things that can happen. Like I warned earlier, cats can get hurt in this game. So there are some things like dire challenges, in which case if you fail, you might get injured, disabled, or be dying. So in this, you might have scraps with different cats or other animals. The scrapping methods are just like, so there's dodge, stun, shove, grab, and hurt. Then there's the right cat for the job, which basically, depending on what class you've done, scrapper, two-footologist, etc., there are certain things that will just automatically give you a success or make like a moderate challenge an easy challenge automatically. For example, the cat acrobat trying to like jump up and do some sort of acrobatic feat. That's, you're the right cat for the job. Or if you like find some rune and you're trying to read it or recognize it, then the tiger dreamer would be the right cat for the job, and so on. Other cats are allowed to try them. It just might be a more difficult challenge.
So as far as lives, cats have 9 lives. How does that work in this
game?
Okay,
cool. Thank you, Ollie. So yeah, you have 9 lives. I did want to ask if in your character description, if you wanted to include whether or not you start with 9 lives or not. I do like a little homebrewiness. So it says that the game starts with all cats starting with 9 lives. I think maybe some of you have had scraps in the past, so you might already start with a few missing. So the 9 lives, they can do 2 things. You can give up a life to instantly recover an injury, and that's if you don't have treats, which we'll go over, or if you can't find a human to give you the right treatment. So you can just say, okay, I don't have time to deal with this injury. I'm going to give up 1 of my 9 lives, and you can get rid of 1 of the injuries that you're dealing with. Or you can use them to do an act of glory. I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. So in an act of glory, that would be facing a dire challenge. It allows you to roll an additional die / let you do a challenge that is like super out of your league. So like if a pussyfoot is trying to beat up a dog, yeah. Yeah. Super unlikely that they will succeed, but they can use one of their lives for an act of glory. Not to be confused with going out in a blaze of glory, which means that your cat is literally sacrificing themselves all nine lives or however many they left to accomplish a like an amazing feat. And you can do that, but it's an insta-death. And it doesn't necessarily solve the whole mystery. It would just solve one specific thing. So you can't be like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, go out in a blaze of glory to solve all the clues, find the big bad, and stop them from their thing. You can't do that. But maybe you go out in a blaze of glory to, like, stop a car that's about to run into a nest of kittens or something. Wow, this sounds horrific. But yeah, it is a horrifying thing.
You sacrifice yourself to keep a portal from opening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Nightmares from getting out.
Yes, yes, you can do that.
And then getting poor kittens.
Yeah, exactly. And the way injuries worked are you can have up to 3 injuries before you die. So you should have time to decide to like treat yourself with a treat, human, or giving up one of your lives. So if you have 1 injury, you're injured. A cat with 1 injury can no longer be the right cat for the job for anything. And all of their difficulties are raised 1 level for whatever the challenge is. So if it's something that should be easy, it's now moderate. Moderate becomes difficult, and difficult becomes dire. 2 injuries is disabled. You can't perform any challenges. You can only communicate with cats within a few feet of you. And all you can do is really just kind of like lie around and try to drag yourself to somewhere that won't continue to be dangerous. And if you have 3 injuries, you are considered dying and you are unconscious and you cannot do anything. And you have to hope that the rest of the player cats can get you out of that stitch, or you can give up one of your lives to reduce one of those injuries. Does that make sense pretty well?
How many treats can you have?
Great. So at the beginning of each one, I'm so happy you read it. Thank you, Ollie. <You're welcome>. You know what to ask. No, I love it because you're helping me. Okay.
Such a teacher's pet.
In conjunction with that, since I have rich parents, can I just bring like a huge bag full of treats to share with everyone?
No. So at the beginning of each session, each player will start with 1 treat. You get treats by being very in character. It's like a reward from the cat herder, saying like, damn, that was a great idea, or excellent role playing, or whatever. You can have up to 3 treats, so you can't just hoard them. And between sessions, if you end a session with more than 1 treat, you instantly just go back down to 1 treat. That said, if you end the session with an injury, the cat herder should convert one of those injuries, like get rid of one of those and one of your treats at the same time. Does that answer those questions?
It does. So you can consume a treat to heal 1 injury?
Yes.
Does it have any effects on any other aspects of the game?
Yes. So it also adds an additional die to challenges if you want to do that as well. So lives and treats are kind of interchangeable in a lot of ways, but lives, you don't get them back. Treats are something you can get back.
Do you get an extra die, or do you just get to re-roll your dice?
I actually think you can re-roll your dice.
I think it's the re-roll.
I think you're right, too. Thank you.
Look at me, teacher's pet. Coming for you.
I love it when they read the rules. So towards the end of the rule book, there's just like a list of a bunch of rules of paw. So if you're out of treats and you're not like in a situation where the cat herder feels like giving you a treat, you can go to a human who you know and get another treat by convincing that human to pet you exactly 3 times. No more, no less. This is something that the pussyfoot can always achieve. Mm-hmm. Other cats, it might be a bit of a challenge to achieve this. You can also use treats, by the way, to help another cat in your party. There's the rule of 1 thing. That means a cat can carry around 1 item because you have your mouth. I don't care if you're polydactyl. And in this, if you are carrying something, then you're supposed to like put your pencil in your mouth and just be like, sorry, I'm trying to tell you, why can you understand me? And if you take it out of your mouth, that symbolizes you have dropped the item. And I kind of do like that rule. I kind of do so want to keep good. It in.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, the rule of three smelly things. Okay, so this is something you can do is you can leave your scent on people, places, objects. The way you do this is you just have to like vocalize that you're leaving your scent. So maybe you want to rub on your like Priscilla or something. You're like, you know, I'm a little, she's going off to school. I just want to be able to find her. So I'm just going to give her a little rub. I'm leaving my scent on her. And then somewhere on your paper, you can just mark the three things that you've left your scent on. Keep them in order that you've done it, because after you have marked a third person, place, thing, if you mark an additional thing, the first one fades away. So you can't just like mark everything. Your scents also fade after one day. So if a day has passed, or if it's like raining, then it might fade faster. Yeah. That's rule of three smelly things.
And what if you spray on something?
Disgusting.
Well, I mean, you aren't fixed. No. So yeah,
I am an unneutered male cat.
You are. It's still three smelly things. They're just going to be rank.
Just really smelly.
They're ripe. Yeah.
What if you spray on a human?
They will be upset.
And try to wash it off.
And I'll find them later.
Okay, rule of doubles. So snake eyes, double ones is a like super embarrassment. So if it ever happens that you roll cat eyes or snake eyes, just it's super failure.
Spend a treat.
Yeah.
Is that super failure in the like dangerous injure yourself sort
it
of way?
It can be. It can be. It's up to the player slash cat herder. So it kind of depends on what you're doing. Midnight is when you do double sixes. It's like a triumphant success. And that's also like, the player can describe it. The cat herder will verify if that actually happens. Because, like, if the player's like, I beat the boss, you're like, you can do something really cool to, like, slow the boss down. Yeah.
Scratch out his corneas.
God.
Give him cat scratch fever in 2 weeks.
And then also, if it's a dire challenge and you're rolling three dice instead of two, they also have, like, triple snake eyes or triple sixes. And that's just, like, the player cat is supposed to be able to describe exactly what happens in that triple success, and the cat herder describes a horrific, probably like deadly injury if it's triple ones. Sweet. But it's super unlikely to happen. We're going to ignore the rule of meow and yowl.
Okay, I was about to ask about that.
Which means players cannot talk and they cannot gesture. They can only make emotive noises. We're not doing that. Meow. We are going to speak to each other.
No, I think that's only when you're out of touch and visual range, if you can only hear, I thought. Is that how that?
Well, if you can only hear, then why could you not yell at each other?
Okay, fine. Okay.
I'm pretty sure, and I might be misunderstanding, but I'm pretty sure the way this this book is like meant to be read is that you describe what your cat is doing in words, but then when you're actually acting as your cat, you're supposed to just be like, "Wow," or whatever. This is not a good thing for a podcast.
Try
we ain't doing that.
Stop me.
Gosh dang it.
Well, if we're gonna do that, if we were doing that, then I would actually be spraying on people.
Oh my god.
And those are
yeah, and then you get punched in the face.
And I think those are all the rules. And the way that leveling up in this game, there isn't really leveling up in this game. It's more that you gain knowledge within your, like, from your adventures that you can then use in future adventures. So, like, maybe your first adventure involves having to open a door, and that means that now all of you can discern, like, what a house key looks like slash how to unlock a door or something like that. Or maybe one of you will know, like, this pedal makes big metal honking thing move. Like, yeah. It's more just like gaining knowledge that you can apply later in the game, which is interesting. I've never played a game that doesn't have like leveling
skills and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any like sets of knowledge that we start the game with?
So that's something that after the session zero, I'm going to be sending in the description of your relationships with the world around you. For example, Braylee is playing a two-footologist who lives with an inventor. Braylee's probably going to start with knowledge that, you know, switches and buttons. They might not know what they do, but she knows they do something. Or like a light switch. You'd probably know what a light switch is. Mm. So, yeah. So I'll send each of you stuff like that.
Yeah. Could I say that since my parents are art thieves, that I see them exchanging lots of money. So I know that whatever that paper they're using seems to be incredibly important in the human world.
Yeah.
Or is that beyond, would that be beyond my thing?
I think you would recognize, well, you'd see that coins are shiny. So that's already kind of valuable. And paper smells like a lot of different people and things. So it's you could say it's something that you recognize as important.
They also probably got really mad at me when I sprayed their briefcase full of stolen goods.
Oh my god. You are a menace.
What? They let him keep his balls. What do you know?
Yeah.
They wanted me fully intact.
Are you the only one who's not neutered? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. So, I think I would be a hassle if I was like in a circus.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it like completing like the look of the cat, just having like
big old balls
knockers on him, but
that would just be so grotesque seeing a hairless cat with a big old set. Yeah. No thank you.
Yeah. Maybe I do.
We're
have
just
my balls.
Gonna keep neutering popular so people keep neutering.
Let's just never mention neutering again.
Yeah. Let's just not think about cat balls.
They're so tiny.
Well, are you looking up Sphinx cat balls
there's
right
some
now?
Rat balls, because they're not tiny relative to the rat.
Squirrels
nor
are
squirrel
really
balls. Squirrel
too.
Balls are big.
Yeah, squirrel balls are huge.
I have a picture of like the squirrel that'll like come up in our yard every now and again. He's just like standing there. I can just like see his nuts. Like,
they're massive.
Big as his head.
Yeah, they're like as long as his little feet are. Some they kind of drag on the ground.
Every now and again, I'll see a boy squirrel that like walks around weird because his nuts are dragging.
Wow. Have, like calluses on their balls from just dragging them over.
Yeah, it didn't become popular until there's a big uptick in the 1930s, so maybe
Salem was ahead of its time.
They're just chopping.
I live with an inventor, all right?
Cat balls off for decades before anybody else.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Rollmageddon Podcast. We'd like to thank everyone who has left a 5-star review. If you haven't done that yet, our goal is to reach 25 reviews on Apple Podcast or 5 stars on Spotify, whatever other platform you listen to us on. We really appreciate whatever you can do. Bother your mother, your father, whoever. Tell them to leave 5 stars. Thank you. If they don't want to leave 5 stars, don't tell them we exist. Tell them it's an Armageddon podcast. Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
Discord.
We don't have a Facebook thing. Facebook? Well, Discord is getting in order.
Discord's getting in order. That's Rollmageddon. It's Rollmageddon. Rollmageddon podcast. Have a great evening and thank you, players, for joining us. Once again, we have...
I'm Magnus. I'm the world's strongest cat.
It's me, Melvin, the little pussyfoot.
I am Set, god of chaos.
I'm Freya, the 2-footologist.
And I'm Princess Pretty Pants.
And I'm Sierra, your cat herder. Y'all have a good evening. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Meow, 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 meow.
Who's got the catnip?
Stop knocking my shit off the table.
Thank you.
cats have 50,000 names. Full name is Poopy. Like, I barely even call my cats their names. Usually with Levi, I call him Bubby or Bubba or my Bubby baby boy or my Fluffy baby boy. And then I call Farrah Cunt.
And then I call Farrah Cunt.
What a hard turn that was. Damn.
Look, man.
It was a hard turn.
You say someone else broke their leg
that same show. Yeah. Someone broke their shin. One of the stagehands got Jesus, another just production? Bloody nose. It was Curtains the musical. Highly recommend. It's a murder mystery musical, which is funny because it was literally during the intermission. Techies are mopping up blood and everyone's like, don't tell the director, because technically you have to, like, if there's blood, you have to stop and get it, like, professionally cleaned in a public school setting.
Yeah.
So they're like, just don't say anything. And we're going around with flashlights mopping up these puddles of blood on the stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
That's talent.
That's just high schoolers thinking that they're on Broadway. But, you know, it was fun.
This is my big tax.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Good time. Good time.
I don't know how many people I had to fuck to get this part.
Wow.
It's not Loop. Come on.